our speaker for this evening, Barbara.
Thank you, Millie. I was a little wondering where you were going with that introduction. Okay. This is interesting for me because the name of the talk is Keep the Faith, and I had this beautiful outline. I don't really write my talks out word for word, but I always have outlines, and then I don't always keep to them. But I grabbed the outline, and I walked out the front door, and got in my car and drove here, and it's not with me. I don't know. I went back to my car. I looked for it. It's not there. And I think the angels are playing a trick on me because the talk is called Keep the Faith, and I'm keeping the faith that they're really here with me. So there'll be more ums than usual. But when I do a talk, I always share a bit from my life. Not that my life is any better, more exciting, or more tragic, or anything else, but I really feel like when we share some personal experiences with each other, we can connect on a really soulful and heart level. And most of you who know me know that my father died of Alzheimer's in November of this past year. And he was 79, and it was sad, and I had a rough time the last 2 years of his life traveling back and forth to New York, but I could certainly accept it. He had lived a full life and raised his children and had the blessing of remarrying after my mother died somewhat more tragically at 59 from a brain aneurysm. And my father had also watched my brother Bob die at age 37 from brain cancer. So in my family, we've got a little problem with our brains, but like remembering where to put we put a piece of paper. But so these things have happened in my adult life, these losses. But as I stand before you today, I'm doing pretty good. And I set this as the stage because one of my coworkers, and it's such a small world because I come in tonight and I say hi to Eduardo and he introduces me to his friend Charlie. Charlie knows a woman that I work with indirectly at the newspaper where I work, and it's like, okay. These circles are always overlapping a bit. Last week or 2 weeks ago, a manager at the Reader came up to me and he said, you know, I'm really concerned about one of my employees, and I'm going to call him Bob for the purpose of this talk. And Bob is 30 years old and recently married, and his father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 4 years ago at age 52, early onset Alzheimer's. And his father is now 56 and is in the end stages, but still at home. And this young man, he and his mother are, you know, living a little taste of hell on earth. When I heard what he was going through, I invited him into my office and I said, you know, my experience is so different. My father was in his late 70s. But I understand things about the disease, and if you ever need to talk, please, you know, you can come in anytime, and I will be there for you. And I thought he would probably take me up on it. I didn't know it would happen so soon. A few days later, he came to my office door, and he said, have you got a moment, or maybe 12? And I said, sure, come on in. So he sat down. And his very first question was, how do you keep your faith? And I have never discussed my spirituality with him before. There are very few people at my place of business that I discuss spiritualism with. You know, we all understand that in parts of our public life, this isn't going to be fully accepted. And in the workplace, you know, you really don't go around with your politics or your religious points of view, unless somebody brings it up. And then in a personal confidence, you might express some of it. But that was, he sat down and he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, "How did you keep your faith?" And I said, "Whoa, that's a big question. You're right, that's going to take more than one moment." And I'm looking at the watch and thinking, I got to pick my 4-year-old up at preschool. You know, how am I going to... I'm thinking, now what did that Rabbi Kushner say in his book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People? I don't know this young man's spiritual background whatsoever, but he's asking me to share my point of view. And he is definitely in need of some words of faith. And so I called on the angels and I just started talking. And I probably said more than he wanted or needed to hear, but I realized that for me, there's the faith of a child, the faith that was instilled in me by my children, by my parents initially when I was a young child, going to church, them showing me their examples of how to live life, teaching me about love. And then there's the faith that's come as an adult, as I've had it proven to me. And I did a little research before I came, and, you know, there's a lot of theologians and philosophers have all these definitions of faith, and some of them are saying faith is tested and proven with empirical evidence, and that gets you to a place of true faith. And others is just saying faith defies reason. Faith just is. Faith is just in you, and you believe it without having it proven to you. And I read this one thing which I thought was kind of interesting, partially because as a child I grew up outside of Buffalo, New York, near Niagara Falls. But one of the scholars was writing about faith, and he said there was this guy in the mid-1800s who would walk on tight ropes, and he could do this anytime, anywhere, and he would do this over Niagara Falls in the mid-1800s. And they said one time he even walked to the middle, sat down on the tightrope over Niagara Falls, and cooked an omelet and then ate it. I mean... I don't know how he got fire out there with him, but anyway. So, but the scholar was making the point that after he walked across Niagara Falls on this tightrope, he then said to his audience, "How many of you have the faith that I could do it again carrying a man on my back?" And they all were pretty impressed with what he had done. They're like, "Yeah, we have faith you can do that." But the scholar said it was only one person who then stepped up and volunteered to be that man carried on his back. He was the one who really had the faith. He was. It turns out he was also the manager of this guy, so he had probably seen it done a couple times. And but still, I mean, even if you have never been to Niagara Falls, it's a long way down. So who truly has faith? I don't believe that God calls upon us to walk over Niagara Falls to prove our faith in Him. I don't believe that God gives us the hard times, the sad times, the tragic lessons in our life. But I do believe, and this is where faith comes in, I do believe that through these tragic experiences, we get closer to learning about love. Your song was perfect. And that it is this love, both with the people who are in the body here before us, and then in spiritualism, we learn about that proof that comes with the communication from the other side. It is that proof, as well as the actual experience of love, that has helped me keep my faith during close to 30 years of losing my mom, losing my brother, losing my dad, and still holding on to the fact that I'm connected to God. I'm trying to remember my verses, which I had written down. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. That was convenient. It was 2:13. It has the Bible verse, "These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And indeed, it is the one thing that we can test. It is the one thing that we learn from birth from our parents, and is the one thing that we have tangible evidence as we live our lives. We get to, you know, in grade school, you get to experience sticking out your tongue at somebody and being mad at somebody, and then you get to see how that works out for you. You know, did that really, you know, get you to be popular in second grade? Well, no. But being loving, being kind, being these other, exhibiting these other behaviors give you this tenfold, thousandfold return of love coming back. Millie obviously is one of our favorite examples of love, those of us who know her. And tonight, when I was driving over here and must have dropped the piece of paper somewhere in Hillcrest, I looked at the clock and I said, oh gosh, it's 7:20. But this next thought was, I know that Millie had the faith I was going to show up. And if I didn't show up, I knew she had the faith it was going to be okay. You know, it didn't matter that she didn't see the whites of my eyes by 7 o'clock because she has faith in me and all of us as well as faith in God. Now, it's a little bit harder at times to have faith in our fellow human beings. Not all of them are always worthy of our trust and worthy of our faith or worthy of our relationships. I just love her. She could be my daughter. Okay, where am I going with that? I don't know. I just looked down and Millie had written a note to me calling me Barbie doll. I'm turning 50 in 3 months and I'm going to have a party called Barbie Turns 50. You're all invited. Maybe I'll have that Barbie figure by then. I know two personal trainers now. Okay, but I digress. How are we doing on time? Can't see with all the Christmas lights. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Is this impressive? You know, I'm using my brain here. But okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 talks about faith and says that faith comes from hearing God's word. And, you know, some Christians would believe that hearing God's word or hearing the words of God through Christ only happened with a set number of words that were in the Bible that was written 2,000 years ago. Fortunately, we believe that the words of God still come to us and can still be heard and are still being refreshed in our modern vernacular, in words that we can understand and relate to today. And I believe that that Bible verse is still true, that faith comes from hearing the word of God. And the word of God and the word of Christ was love one another. That, you know, that simple, that most simple commandment and the one that we sometimes really forget. And so this isn't quite exactly the same explanation I gave to that young man in my office, but it's a lot of it about where my faith comes from. And I also said to him, there were times I wanted to shake my fist at God. There were times when my brother was dying slowly and was paralyzed, and I looked at him with a family, and I didn't have a family at that point, and I thought, you know, God, let's make a deal. You take me and let him stay and raise his children. There were times I didn't always understand God, but I still had the faith, the faithfulness to the relationship with God, because I knew he wouldn't ever abandon me, and it was definitely in my interest to not abandon him. And so that's how I've kept my faith. When I arrived here after my mom died about 18 years ago, I would sit over there and I would cry a lot. And I think many people find this church initially after a time of loss, after a time of sorrow, a time when they are questioning what it means to believe in God and what it means to have faith in life after death. And I'm just hopeful that those who come seeking today, that we can still help you find your own answers for what faith means, to find your own recommitment to God and know that it's worth the effort, because it truly is. Thank you for this time.